We're continuing our discussion of Sanatan Goswami's visit to Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri Dham. We're going to look at a very famous situation in which Lord Chaitanya is in Puri near the temple, and he invites Sanatan Goswami to come for lunch. So, naturally, Sanatan Goswami was very happy to hear that call to take lunch with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should bear in mind that although Sanatan Goswami is showing such humility and always condemning himself as low-born and low-class, he's actually from the spiritual world. He's an intimate associate of Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. That was the nature of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So we can be inspired by their example, but we can't exactly duplicate their footsteps. Sanatan Goswami was happy to hear Lord Chaitanya's invitation. And the particular way that he went to see Lord Chaitanya is what attracts so much discussion. He walked along the beach at noontime when the sands were burning hot. He felt that he was too fallen in both spiritual condition and physical condition to walk through Jagannath Puri, because if he went through the main part of Jagannath Puri, he'd go by the Jagannath temple, and he was afraid the pujaris, the servants of the deity, would touch his body, which had these itching, bleeding sores all over the body. And plus he felt, I'm impure by birth and association. So he happily answered the call, the lunch invitation of Lord Chaitanya, by walking on the hot sands in midday. I don't know if you've ever done that, walk barefoot on hot sands. Your feet definitely know what's happening. But Sanatan Goswami was so overwhelmed with joy for his being called by Lord Chaitanya that he didn't feel that his feet were burning in the hot sand. Indeed, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes that the soles of both feet of Sanatan Goswami were blistered because of the heat. Still, he proceeded happily towards Lord Chaitanya. So this shows you the power of devotional service. How you can become so absorbed in carrying out service to the Supreme Lord that you forget the miseries of material existence. Sometimes people feel threatened how it is that Krishna conscious persons are in another dimension. Yes, the bhakta, the devotee, is in another dimension, but at the same time, the devotee knows how to skillfully use the material world. So that other dimension doesn't mean disconnected from practical affairs. The other dimension means you are the most practical because you know whose energy all the practical affairs are composed of. People imagine that if you become too Krishna conscious, you'll lose track of the world. You'll be lost in some kind of reverie or dreamlike state. The fact of the matter is that those who are under the influence of Maya, they're in the dreamlike state. The night dream and the daydream. They never wake up in the morning. They just go from one dream to another. The Krishna Bhakta is living in the lawful condition, not the outlaw condition. The Krishna Bhakta is living in the lawful condition of seeing everything in relation to Krishna and using everything for Krishna's pleasure. This is the most practical situation. Is it very practical to be a criminal when there's surveillance everywhere? Just think. You imagine yourself to be very practical as a criminal. Your phone is bugged. You have, you know, monitoring devices, you know, in your car. Just recently in New Zealand, a policeman was killed, you know, trying to undercover put a GPS monitoring device in some suspected drug dealer's car. As part of the special electronic squad of the police. So, here you are thinking, I'm such a practical person. I'm living in the real world. You know, I'm doing what I have to do to enjoy and be successful. And you're violating all the laws. And you think you're so practical, but meanwhile, your phone is bugged. Your car has tracking devices on it. Your emails are all intercepted. You're being followed around everywhere by plainclothesmen. You'd be mad to think you're being practical. And that is the nature of conditioned life. You're mad thinking you can just do this and that and show your prowess and expertise, and there's no reaction. Therefore, Lord Rishabhdev states in the fifth canto, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yat indriya pritaya apranoti. When you consider sense gratification a legitimate goal in life, you become mad. And you perform so many vikarmas, illegal actions, sinful activity. All because yat indriya pritaya apranoti. All because sense gratification is so dear to you. We have to meditate on that. Yad indriya pritya apranoti. The gratification of the indriyas, the senses, it becomes dear to you. Yes, this is very fulfilling. This is nice. This is personal expression. This is necessary for my sustenance. I need a boost from sense gratification. I need to perk up a bit. Yad indriya pritya apranoti. This is madness, pramata. So Lord Rishabhdev continues to say, Nasaru manye yata atmanoyam asannapi kleshita asadeha. I don't think it's very intelligent that you get involved in this foolish criminal pursuit by which you get one body after another and your suffering simply continues. It may be hard for us to visualize how non-devotional activities lead to suffering because of conditioning. It's amazing how attached we become to just trying to feel good for the moment or for a few years. And forget the whole big picture. Indeed, as we've explained so many times, material life means forgetfulness. Sanatana Goswami is the most practical. He's the most in tune. He's the most holistic. He's the most harmonized. Indeed, he's totally on the spiritual platform. Therefore, his joy at going to meet Lord Chaitanya pushed all material miseries to the background. He didn't even notice. He got to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya had just finished eating, and his servant Govinda gave Sanatan Goswami a plate of remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, after taking that prasad, Sanatan Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu asked him, "By the way, how did you come here?" And Sanatan Goswami explained, "I came along the beach." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you do that? The sand is so hot. Why didn't you come by the path in front of the main gate, the Sinhadwara of the Jagannath Puri temple? It's very cool there. The hot sand must have blistered your soles. Now you cannot walk. How did you tolerate it?" You see, Lord Chaitanya is concerned with the well-being of the devotees. Even though Sanatan Goswami was so absorbed in the bliss of coming to meet the Lord, they didn't notice his feet were being blistered. Lord Chaitanya is noticing, "Your feet are blistered, you can't walk. How did you tolerate this?" So this shows you that we should always be concerned with the welfare of devotees. When they're not healthy, when they're not taking proper care of their bodies, we should point that out and offer some assistance. Lord Chaitanya is showing that concern for Sanatan Goswami. At the same time, from Sanatan Goswami's point of view, he had a prime consideration. He didn't want to offend any of the pujaris of Jagannath Temple by perchance rubbing against them, walking through crowded streets, perhaps. And in any case, Sanatan Goswami replies, "I did not feel much pain, nor did I know that there are blisters because of the heat." So Sanatan Goswami is showing the reality of indeed transcending the material body and mind. You cannot stop the miseries of this world, but you can change your reaction to those miseries. In other words, the miseries will be there, but you're interacting with the miseries in a completely different way. So even though the miseries of the hot sand are there for Sanatan Goswami, he's interacting with those miseries in a way that he's far beyond even noticing them, because he's just focused on giving pleasure to Krishna. And he explains that. He says, "I have no right to pass by the Sinhadwara," that's the main gate of the Jagannath Puri temple, "because the servants of Jagannath are always coming and going there. If I touch them, I'll be ruined." So this is not just some kind of fanaticism. This is a principle of deity worship that, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is a very important item in temple worship, that pujaris keep themselves very clean. They don't allow themselves to be touched by the general public. This is not fanaticism. The pujari is the personal servant of the deity by the grace of parampara. Actually, when someone is serving the deity, they should think, "I'm assisting my spiritual master in serving the deity," not that I'm serving the deity directly. So Sanatan Goswami took into consideration the personal pleasure of the deity, the service of the deity. I don't want to risk touching the deity's servants. Such an offense. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was very pleased. He could see Sanatan Goswami is simply thinking of the pleasure of the Lord and not his own inconvenience. To the extent that Sanatan Goswami is willing to undergo austerity for the sake of the Lord's pleasure. We should think about this. Because, yes, there are times in devotional service where clearly you have to act in a way that you wouldn't do if you were simply thinking of your own convenience. In fact, as you become more absorbed in devotional service, you won't even consider your own convenience. You'll just simply think what is best for Krishna. That doesn't mean you purposely neglect your health or your well-being. As Lord Chaitanya already explained to Sanatana Goswami, your body belongs to me. I have so many purposes to accomplish through your body. Why are you trying to get rid of it? So this is the fascinating and endlessly profound world of bhakti, in which a devotee enters by always thinking what's best for Krishna's pleasure. Lord Chaitanya is very pleased that Sanatana Goswami considered the pleasure of the deity and the sanctity, the sacredness of the worship of the deity as the number one priority. Therefore, he walked on the hot sands, blistered his feet, rather than risk touching the pujaris, the servants of the deity, by taking the very cool main route, the preferred route. Lord Chaitanya is very pleased by that attitude, that bhakti. This is how you attract Krishna's attention. We always explain, your attention would be attracted if someone sacrificed their own convenience for you. You would think, yes, this is what the world's all about. Of course, who are we to think we are the supreme enjoyer? Still, your heart would be touched. Krishna is indeed the supreme enjoyer, and Sanatana Goswami, from his side, is showing that I was so much absorbed in what is best for Krishna, I didn't even notice that my feet were blistered. So he's showing you the potential in bhakti yoga. Lord Chaitanya is pleased by this attitude of Sanatana Goswami's putting Krishna as number one, Krishna's pleasure. That we want to be the guiding principle of our life. One famous president of the USA made a famous statement maybe 40 years ago or so, or ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And then he was assassinated. This material nature rewarding you for your perverted application of bhakti. You want to be devoted to the nation, and you get assassinated. So, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Meanwhile, he was in the White House enjoying with Marilyn Monroe. People still know who she is? Marilyn? Yeah. Anyway. Not only him, but also his brother. The other Kennedy was also assassinated a few years later. So, obviously, he wasn't always just asking, what can I do with the country? So, a chance to serve Krishna's pleasure. This is so rare in life, but Lord Chaitanya has distributed those opportunities freely. We don't take advantage. How foolish are we? We don't want to give up this body regretting, oh, I wasted so many opportunities to be Krishna conscious, to sacrifice for Krishna. I was waylaid by material desires. I was waylaid by illusions. I could have made my life much more successful in devotional service. That's one lesson that will stick in your mind very profoundly. As of yet, here in this particular devotional community, there hasn't been any devotees leaving their bodies. But when it happens, and of course it will happen, you realize that life is very short. You don't know how long your duration is. Even you can calculate, you could try to calculate astrologically your duration of life, but for a devotee, the duration of life is in Krishna's hands. Krishna can shorten, he can extend as he likes. The consideration for a devotee is what's best for your spiritual advancement. So, you don't want to regret the time of death. Oh, I just became victimized by temporary illusion and I wasted my opportunity. You don't want to do that. To avoid a life of regret, one, a devotee needs association of strong devotees. So we've tried to provide you an opportunity of good association. It is a fact that we will all leave this world one time or another. Bhakti yoga is the process for how to leave this world without any regrets. Now, of course, on the topmost spiritual platform, a devotee still regrets, like Madhavendra Puri. Oh, I could not attain Mathura. I could not attain the Lord of Mathura. But that's love of Krishna and separation. Through that attitude of pure love, he actually has Krishna more than anyone. But that's another thing. Or the lamentations of Narottam Das Thakur. Manusha Janam Apaya, Radha Krishna Nabhajaya. I wasted my life uselessly. I did not worship Radha and Krishna. I willingly drank poison. Bhakti yoga means becoming reacclimated to serving Krishna's pleasure. Reducing the toxic disease of just thinking of our own gratification. It's so deep in the conditioned heart, acting for me, my pleasure. You notice how conditioned souls always have to munch on something for their own pleasure, you know? Like persons who, well, you can remember before you became accustomed to regulated eating habits. You know, you just munch all day on something, you know? Yes? It's just normal, just always popping something in the mouth, you know? So that is symptomatic of the approach of the conditioned soul to material life. You always have something to, you have to have something to munch on, nibble on for your own pleasure at every moment. Even if you're at work, still you have to find something for your own pleasure while you're at work. Otherwise you go nuts. Yeah. You gotta find someone to talk to in the nearby office or this stereotype situation at the office, you know, talking at the water cooler or the coffee dispenser. It just has to be something in it for you. You've got to talk, you know, to a secretary, or the secretary's warning if anyone notices her new hairstyle. One devotee told me this. My god brothers, Narantara Das in Los Angeles, he told me he was working in the office. He said, whenever I go to the office, I know exactly what to do. As I'm passing through all the offices, with all the secretaries. I always compliment them on their hairstyle and their clothes. Then everything goes fine during the day. If I forget to do that, oh my gosh, this happens. Productivity drops 50%. Always remember, compliment the hairstyles, compliment the fashions. The day is very productive. So, it is the nature of the conditioned soul to always have to have something to munch on, to nibble on, for your own conditioned pleasure. Okay, even you might be involved in serving someone else at work, at school. Still, you have to get some munchies in there somehow. Something to nibble on, you know? Just think back to your life at work, at school, even you're going to the uni. You have to lace everything with your own, with something for your own pleasure. And then, of course, those are joyous times when you can just focus completely on your own pleasure. How great is that? Hearing about Sanatana Goswami is so purifying. We get to see what is real pleasure, what is reality, how is Krishna's service going on. He's so absorbed in that he doesn't even notice the blisters on his feet. Although Lord Chaitanya notices. And Lord Chaitanya is pleased by his attitude of sacrificing for Krishna's pleasure. At the same time, Lord Chaitanya is going to point out, my dear Sanatan, you think you're so low? You are the deliverer of the entire universe. Jagat Pavana. This is how exalted Sanatana Goswami is. And although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. That etiquette meaning, don't touch the pujari because they're the personal servants of the deity. Sanatana Goswami is thinking he's the lowest. His body is abominable with these sores that are oozing with pus and blood. And Lord Chaitanya is telling him, the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you. You are the deliverer of the entire universe. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling him, you're the deliverer, you're Jagat Pavan, the deliverer of the entire universe. So Lord Chaitanya simultaneously supports the behavior of not wanting to contaminate the pujaris, the personal servants of the deity. At the same time, he's pointing out, let's understand who Sanatana Goswami actually is. That's how deep Chaitanya Charitamrita is. So many things are going on at once. And what do you think Lord Chaitanya did? After saying this to Sanatana Goswami, you're Jagat Pavan, deliverer of the entire universe, the demigods and the greatest sages are purified by touching you. And Lord Chaitanya puts his words into action. He embraces Sanatana Goswami, and the fluids from the itching sores on Sanatana's body smeared all over Lord Chaitanya. Just think about that. I don't know if you've ever had weeping sores, probably not covering your body, but you may have had a boil or something like that, a few pimples, and you know, the things inside, boils and pimples, it's not very pleasant. So just think of a whole body covered with weeping sores that ooze blood and fluid. Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami, the greatest saints and the demigods are purified by touching you. And then he embraces him tightly so all the fluids smear all over his body. Snat Goswami tried to forbid Lord Chaitanya from doing this, but he couldn't, so Sanatan became greatly distressed. So then Sanatan Goswami went back, and he was talking with another associate of Lord Chaitanya, Jagadananda Pandit. And he was explaining to Jagadananda Pandit, what's going on? My situation is just getting worse and worse, in that first I wanted to commit suicide to keep from contaminating others with this sinful body. Lord Chaitanya forbade me to do that, but now look at the situation. It's even more severe. He continues to embrace me. I continue making these horrible offenses. I forbid him to do so. He embraces me, and his body, the transcendental body of the Lord, becomes smeared with discharges from my itching sores. I'm certainly committing so many offenses. I'll certainly go to hell for this. And what's more, I can't even see Lord Jagannath because of my sinful existence. Lord Chaitanya is embracing me. I'm committing offenses that way. And here I am in Puri. I can't even see Lord Jagannath. What is the use of this life? What to do in this circumstance? So Jagannath Pandit advised him, the most suitable place for you to reside is Vrindavan. The Lord has ordered both you and your brother Rupa Goswami to perform devotional service in Vrindavan. So why not go there? And Sanatan Goswami replies, this is very, very good advice. I'll certainly go there, for that is the place the Lord has given me for my residence. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments about the term Prabhu Dutta Desh, a place given by the spiritual master for you to perform devotional service. In this way, Krishna consciousness spreads all over the world as devotees take up various situations as the place given to them for rendering service by their guru. Srila Prabhupada writes, therefore, Vrindavan was given to Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami as their place of residence. Similarly, everyone in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotional cult should accept the words of the spiritual master and thus spread the Krishna consciousness movement. They should go everywhere to all parts of the world, accepting those places as Prabhu Dutta Desh, the places of residence given by the spiritual master or Lord Krishna. The spiritual master is a representative of Lord Krishna. Therefore, one who has carried out the orders of the spiritual master is understood to have carried out the orders of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to spread the bhakti cult all over the world. Prativiti acha yata nagaradhi gram. Therefore, devotees in the line of Krishna consciousness must go to different parts of the world and preach as ordered by the spiritual master. That will satisfy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Different parts of the world also means different parts of the same city. That was the conversation between Jagannanda Pandit and Sanatan Goswami. Wait till you hear what happens when Lord Chaitanya gets word of this discussion. You're going to see further intricacies in the relationships between devotees. Lord Chaitanya, the next day, went to see Haridas and Sanatan Goswami. Remember, Sanatan Goswami is staying at the home of Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur offers his obeisances, and the Lord embraces him in ecstatic love. Daily, Lord Chaitanya was visiting Haridas Thakur, but still, this embrace of ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how to relish the association of devotees. What is Sanatan Goswami doing? He's offering his obeisances and dandavats from a distant place. The Lord Chaitanya is calling him. Lord Chaitanya wants to embrace him. But Snan Goswami doesn't come forward. Well, I'm not making any more offenses. Lord Chaitanya is going to embrace my body, and this fluid from the sores will smear all over the body of the Lord. But nevertheless, Lord Chaitanya went to where Sanatana Goswami was, caught him, and forcefully embraced him. So then, Lord Chaitanya sits down with both Haridas and Sanatana Goswami in a sacred place. And Sanatana Goswami begins to express himself. I came here for my benefit, but I see I'm getting just the opposite. I am unfit to render service. I simply commit offenses day after day. By nature, I am low-born. I am a contaminated reservoir of sinful activities. If you touch me, sir, that will be the greatest offense on my part. Just see, blood is running from infected, itching sores on my body, smearing your body with moisture, but still you touch me by force. You do not even have a pinch of aversion to touching my body, which is in a horrible condition. Because of this offense, everything auspicious will be vanquished for me. I see that there's no point in my staying here. Allow me now to return to Vrindavan. Moreover, I've consulted Jagannanda Pandit for his opinion, and he's advised me to return to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became very angry. You're going to see the intricacies and personalism that relationships between devotees involve. Lord Chaitanya is always demonstrating how to associate with devotees properly. He begins to chastise Jagannanda Pandit in an angry mood. Jagannanda Pandit's nickname was Jaga. Jaga is only a new boy, but he's become so proud that he thinks himself competent to advise a person like you in affairs of spiritual advancement. And even in ordinary dealings, you are on the level of his guru. Yet, he doesn't even know his own value and dares to advise you. Listen to Lord Chaitanya. My dear Sanatan, you're on the level of my advisor, for you are an authorized person. But Jaga wants to advise you. This is but the impudence of a naughty boy. Now, how do you think Sanatana Goswami is feeling? In conditioned consciousness, we're very happy when someone is chastised. We derive pleasure when others are sad. And when others are happy, we are sad. I remember in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement when Srila Prabhupada would, if he would chastise a disciple, often he would do it in private. He would shut the door and chastise a disciple. And so many other devotees of his personal staff or entourage, and he ran outside the door listening. I really gave it to him. I really put him in his place. I remember once I went to Mayapur. I was about 77. And there was some controversy at the time about Back to Godhead magazine, and one particular leader wanted to kind of dilute the magazine to make it more what he felt attractive to general people. It was the equivalent of making it kind of more new agey. not so much reference to the supreme personality of Godhead, just spirituality like that. Yeah. Needless to say that, you know, this leader was from California. So, so it was a controversy for about a year. And I remember, like, when I arrived in Mayapur, one of my godbrothers came racing out to meet me. I just walked through the gate. It was like a saffron cloud floating in the air. He was so blissed out and so happy. He had just come from outside Prabhupada's room when Prabhupada was talking to this leader and in private, but he was outside and put his ear to the keyhole. And he heard Prabhupada, you know, chastising this leader, don't water it down, don't make it cheap. Then this devotee, you know, I took his ear away from the door, was just, you know, floating. That was like that then. Prabhupada really gave it to him. Later, as ladies became more prominent in the Krishna Conscious Society, it would be pointed out that this is the competitive male ego in action. Listen to Sanatan Goswami's reaction to Lord Chaitanya chastising Jagannanda Pandit so severely. What does Sanatan Goswami do? He falls at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and says, I can now understand the fortunate position of Jagannanda. I can also understand my misfortune. No one in this world is as fortunate as Jagannanda. My dear Lord, you're making Jagannanda drink the nectar of affectionate relationships. Whereas by offering me honorable prayers, you're making me drink the bitter juice of Nimba and Nishinda. Which are bitter substances. What is Sanatana Goswami saying? He's relishing. He's envious of how Lord Chaitanya is treating Jagannanda as Sanatana Goswami, he's so affectionately, in such an affectionate, personal, intimate relationship by Lord Chaitanya's chastising Jagannanda in this way. Whereas previously, remember, Lord Chaitanya has been praising Sanatana Goswami. The great demigods and sages become purified just by touching you. You're Jagat Pavana, the deliverer of the whole universe. So Sanatana Goswami's thinking, all I get is this honorific praise from Lord Chaitanya, whereas Jagannanda gets the real nectar. Her intense personal reaction. You see, this is the nature of love, that even if the beloved chastises you, still it's some rasa. It's, you know, it's personal. It's intense. So Sanatana Goswami's pointing out, you know, that praise that I get is just honor, prestige. But look at Jagannanda, he gets to taste this nectar of personal interaction. So intimate with the Lord, such personal chastisement. You are making Jagannanda drink the nectar of affectionate relationships, whereas you're offering me honorable prayers. It is my misfortune that you have not accepted me as one of your intimate relations. But what can be done? You are the completely independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what was Lord Chaitanya's reaction? Hearing this, he became somewhat ashamed. And to satisfy Sanatana Goswami, he explained, my dear Sanatan, please do not think that Jagannanda is more dear to me than you. However, I cannot tolerate transgressions of the standard etiquette. You are an experienced authority in the Shastras, whereas Jagat is just a young boy. You have the power to convince even me. In many places, you have already convinced me about ordinary behavior and devotional service. Jagat's advising you is intolerable for me. Therefore, I am chastising him. And then Lord Chaitanya explains why he offers praise to Sanatana Goswami. I offer you praise not because I think of you as being outside an intimate relationship with me, but because you're actually so qualified that one is forced to praise your qualities. Then Lord Chaitanya explains a principle. He says, although one has affection for many persons, different types of ecstatic love awaken according to the nature of one's personal relationships. This is personalism. This is Vaishnavism. Lord Chaitanya is saying, a person can have affection for many persons, but because each person is unique and an individual, each individual relationship awakens a different type of ecstatic love. Of course, this is the principle of nectar devotion. There are different rasas with Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya is explaining that, in other words, don't expect me to relate to you the same way I relate to Jagannanda Pandit, to Jagga. You know, there are different relationships producing different varieties of ecstatic love. The Shastra explains, Rasovaisa, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes. So Lord Chaitanya is indicating that this is the way it is in the spiritual reality. Although one has many affectionate relationships, those relationships are all individual, producing different tastes. Of course, the Mayavadis would say, well, this is all on a lower platform, but beyond all this variegatedness, there's just impersonal oneness. What is attractive about impersonal oneness? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is showing you the ultimate in spiritual existence. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is presenting the interaction of the greatest personalities. Sanatana Goswami is an intimate associate. In Madhurya Ras, with Lord Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. Yet, as an associate of Lord Chaitanya, he's expressing such humility. And Lord Chaitanya goes on to say, you consider your body dangerous and awful, but I think your body is like nectar. So next time, we'll discuss Lord Chaitanya's presentation about how what seems to be a material body can actually be nectar. A material body covered with sores that ooze blood and fluid, it's like nectar. The Lord Chaitanya will explain that statement. So we'll stop here.